Well, tonight is the start of our new format that we're going to be trying a new community for a semester. And for those of you that weren't here last week, let me just reiterate a couple of things. We're going to try a new format here in new community for this semester, and then we're going to reevaluate it. And the new format is basically going to help us develop the four things that we had talked about we're going to be focusing on in this semester here in New Community. And that was all shaped around the word warp. And W for God's Word, A for application, R for relationships, and P, prayer. So this semester, we're going to be doing some devotions. We're going to be looking at God's Word. We're going to be discussing amongst ourselves tables how that word can apply to our lives. And as a part of that, we're going to be building relationships and getting to know one another through some different things. And then finally, we're going to pray with one another. And I realize that it is a little bit of a different structure, and you'll notice that we're not going to have music this semester, and that doesn't mean that we're not going to have worship, though. Amen? Because worship can come in many forms, and certainly music does help us, and we appreciate that, but we're going to try something a little bit different for this semester, and thank you guys for being on board with that, and certainly appreciate that. And of course, we're always looking for ways to get to get better. So if you have any suggestions, let us know. So last week we had like some of these cards in the middle of the table, and I had you write down some topics, some things that you would like to discuss this year. And a couple of things really stood out to me. I thought they were very interesting. First of all, something that was almost on every card was basically, can you teach us how to study God's Word? We want to learn more about God's Word. And that not just from a reading one of the books of the Bible, but actually learn how to study God's Word. Other topics were like relationships, marriage, just dating relationships in general, and friendships, and parenting, and things like that. And so this semester, we're going to kind of take a look at several of those. Tonight, we're really just going to do a standalone night where we're going to be talking about God's vision for your future. God's vision for your future. And then next week, we're actually going to start a series on how to study God's Word. But this is going to be a way to study God's Word that I promise you, you've probably never heard of before. Because instead of giving you just the regular tools to study God's Word, I'm not going to just bring my concordance up here and show you how to do a word study. We can talk about that a little bit. We can have some Q&A and dialogue on that. A lot of people, there is a lot of people, their Bible knowledge organization is kind of like a disorganized closet. Do any of you have one of those closets in your house that are just like, it needs God's attention because that's how bad it is? You know, it's like a miracle needs to happen for that thing to come together. Maybe you're one of those few souls that actually has every closet organized in your house, but even for those, inevitably you have a drawer or you have something that is just, it looks chaotic if you just stare at it, right? Well, what we're going to do starting next week is talk about the way that you can organize your Bible knowledge, because the Bible is not just some random books all thrown together between two leather bindings, you know, and called the Bible. There is actually an organization to it. There is a thread that runs through it, and it's going to be a wonderful complement to what we're doing on Sunday mornings, and we're going to start that next week. But tonight, we want to talk about, basically, God's vision for your future. One of the suggestions last week is that we would do maybe a brief interview every week with some random person here in New Community just to kind of get to know them. And so we're going to try that tonight. And next week and the upcoming weeks, tonight I've kind of preset that interview because I didn't want to put anybody on the spot. I realized last week I didn't mention this, so I didn't want to just scare somebody to death. And I realize even saying this now might mean that you're not going to put your name in there next week. But what we would like you to do is there's a little glass bowl right over there, and it just simply has a place for your name and their email address, and if you want to subscribe to our group's email. And so you can do that for any guest. You can do that anytime during the night. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to draw a name out of that before we start at about 6:45, and then we're going to interview that person. That might end up being a terrible idea, and if it is, we'll modify that. But that's at least how we'll try it. I don't know how else. I mean, I could just start pointing out people, but that seems strange in its own unique way. But tonight I'm going to ask my friend Sean to come up. Sean Downey is here, and he is a friend. We had lunch just yesterday, and I heard a little bit about his story and know a little bit about it. So I'm going to ask him to come up, and we'll just do a little brief interview. So, Sean, you are the example. So
awesome.
Good luck with this. Okay, so, Sean, why don't you, we already know your name, but let's just practice like we never even said this. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what your name is, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. My name's Sean, and I'm from Southern California. Anyone from California? Awesome.
What part?
Ventura. Yeah. Currently, I am a seminary student at AGTS. It's kind of been a wild ride. I was a combat field medic with the Marines for about 8 years. Got out of school, got a chance to go to Evangel, just graduated in May, then got offered to have my master's completely paid for. So I was like, okay, I'll keep going to school. Got married in October, so my wife and I just celebrated our 3-month anniversary Saturday, which awesome. And not this August, but last August, I had started this little Bible study in my house, and it started with about 4 people, and we now have about 70 to 100 people, and we meet at a church called Solid Rock Assembly on Saturday nights, 7 p.m. Sorry, I'm kind of plugging.
It's fine.
It's called Reviving Prayer, and we pray for people, and the quickest way to kill a church service is to call it a prayer service, right?
That's right, yeah.
But there's amazing, amazing college kids that are there just seeking Jesus, and that's a demographic we focus on, but anybody's welcome, and we'd love to have you. This Saturday night, we'd love to have you, but that's a little bit about me.
Let's just back up for a sec. You were a combat field medic?
Yep.
And so how long were you in the military?
8 years.
8 years. Well, yep. Thank you for that on behalf of all of us. Thank you for doing that. And when did you go in to the military?
August 2001.
Wow.
So we were not at war at that time.
Yeah. Whoa, okay. And you were deployed to what region or regions?
I spent a couple of years in Sicily, in Italy, and actually got a chance to lead a missions trip with some youth, like up to Miklos Litovsky in the mountains of Slovakia, doing some ministry up there and stuff. I was deployed to Africa. To Morocco, and we were giving medical aid to people that had never had it before, and you don't realize like what not having medical care is until you go to a place like that and you really see people who have never had medical care before.
Wow. And one final question, what are you looking forward to most in 2013?
Jesus changing this country.
Amen.
And I think that he's big enough that he will.
Yeah. Amen. Well, you guys give a round of applause to Sean. Sean, thanks for that. That was pretty painless, folks. See, you can all do that. And hopefully this semester you will all do that at some point. But we're going to do that actually in a micro version now, because I'd like you to sort of get to know one another around your tables. But we'd like to do this around the topic for tonight. So I'd like you to take a few minutes. If you haven't already met everybody at your table, why don't you meet them? That's why we have these nifty little name tags. Don't worry, it's not rude to look at the name tag when you're introducing yourself. I heard that this past week that it's rude to look at the name tag when you're introducing. So anyway, that's not rude. That'll be our little house rule. But what I'd like you to do is talk about something that you are excited about in 2013? Many of us make resolutions. Many of us don't like the word resolution, so we make goals, whatever it may be. Why don't you kind of share with the table a little bit what you're excited about in 2013? Go ahead and start the discussion. We'll come back in about 5 minutes. We'll give you about 5 minutes for each question, okay? And thanks for following along in that. Tonight, we're really going to be talking about God's vision for your future. And I'd like you, our passage that's going to be in view tonight is 2 Peter chapter 1. So what I'd like you to do, and we're going to need to do this, if you have a Bible, a physical handheld Bible, or that doesn't make any sense, a physical one of these Bibles, turn to it. But if you have a handheld device that has access to multiple translations, you'll want to get that ready as well. And what we want to look at tonight is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And when we just talked about the next year, 2013, but I want to ask you, what do you envision your life in the next 3 to 5 years? And when you think about that, how do you feel about that? Are you excited about that? Are you possibly confused, not sure what God's going to have for you? I've spoken with some people that are kind of indifferent about it. They really don't care one way or the other. Some people just tend not to think about it. It's just from day to day. But I think asking the question, what does God have for us in the future, is a very important question for each and every one of us to ask. So many times we set physical goals or resolutions, whatever, and we do that. And many of us kind of we roll into December and we've basically forgotten where that list was and everything. But this is going to be an exercise tonight where I really believe that we're going to see what God's heart is as it concerns with our growth as Christians. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. I'm going to read it first out of the NIV translation. I should probably start saying the NIV 84 translation. But NIV 84. And that's going to be on the screen behind me as well. Let's just start by reading this. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Let's open in a word of prayer as we begin to think about what God's Word has to say to us tonight. Lord, we just thank you as we come to your Word that, as Pastor Jeff shared Sunday, that studying God's Word is very important. It's important for us on numbers of levels, but I can't think of any more important level about why it's important to study your Word, because it gives an opportunity for the Spirit to work on us. We open up ourselves, we open up our minds. I pray that you would season our thoughts tonight with just a presence of God that is tangible and strong. I pray, oh God, that those who need to be encouraged tonight would feel that encouragement. Those that might be a little too comfortable, that you would even disrupt and disturb us a little bit. I pray that most of all that our passion for you would be fresh, it would be on fire, Lord, And we pray, Lord, that tonight as we look into your word, you'd help us see what the Spirit has to say to us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first of all, I think it's a good question to start with. What concerns are being addressed in this passage? What is Peter addressing? Why did he write this second letter to these believers in Asia Minor? What was the purpose of this? Well, I think if we look carefully at the text, we will see some indicators and some hints to what was going on here. And I'd like to read to you the same passage of Scripture, which is a good way, a good practice in how to study and really get down to the essence of what a Scripture is saying, is read it in another translation. Now, there are lots of great translations out there, and there are some that are much better than the others. The basic thing that you've got to know about translations is it a translation that is done word for word? For example, the English Standard Version, or the ESV, and the NASB were both done word for word translation. Now, the NIV was done basically phrase by phrase, and there are other translations like that. There were some of my favorite translations, the New Living Translation and the CEV translation. CEV is one of my favorite translations because it was written at a sixth grade level, and so it helps me understand. I believe they were given any of the scholars in the room, feel free to correct me, but I think it's something, they had a database of 600 words or so that they could use when they translated the CEV, and those are the only words that they could use. So they had to come up with the essence of the meaning of sentences and everything by using those. It's really fascinating. So since we're talking about CEV, let's read this same passage of Scripture out of the CEV. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This is not on the screen, but just listen along. Or if you have it there on your handheld device, you can follow along. We have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. It was all given to us by God's own power when we learned He had invited us to share in His wonderful goodness. God made great and marvelous promises so His nature would become part of us. Then we could escape our evil desires and corrupt influences of this world. Well, first and foremost, one of the concerns that Peter's addressing here is that these precious believers would be corrupted by their own evil desires, right? I mean, we see that right here in the Scripture. And look at verse 5 in CEV. It says, "Do your best to improve your faith by adding goodness." Now, why do you need to improve on your faith? Why do you need to grow? Well, I think we can kind of see the answer to this. I really like how the NIV says it a little bit later on down in verse 9. It says, if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. Or I'm sorry, back up in verse 8. They will keep you, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. I tell you, sometimes when I reflect on my own spiritual life, those are two words that I often think about: ineffective and unproductive. No, let's just be honest. Those are two painful words when it comes to our own spiritual growth, right? I don't feel very effective, and I certainly don't feel very productive. How about this? Someone, you know, maybe you work in a secular environment, and you have frequent conversations with non-Christ followers, and some of them ask you difficult questions, and you just feel like, I have no idea what to say to this person. I mean, have you ever felt ineffective and unproductive? I mean, this is something that we all, man, I believe my kids love Jesus. They ask me questions sometimes that I feel very ineffective and unproductive. I'm like, I don't even know, you know. Chloe's, never mind, I won't go into the Chloe question. I've got these standard Chloe questions that she asked me. And Carson and Chloe were having a argument the other night about whether the devil lives at the bottom of the ocean or in the middle of the earth. And I have no idea where they got these notions, but anyway, and so we all need help. So these are some of the kind of concerns. If I can kind of boil this down into some handles for us, the first concern I believe Peter is addressing is just what I'll call spiritual slackness. Don't be a slacker, I think, is what Peter's trying to get at here. And it's so easy for us to neglect and to slack on our spiritual walk. And that can come in many different forms, my friend. I know some folks who just say, they'll say things like, well, I don't really have to live a godly life because God will forgive because that's what He always does. Romans chapter 6 says, shall we keep on sinning so that grace may abound? And Paul, you know, he answers his own question, which if you're writing to people, you never answer the obvious unless it's just like, come on. By no means, Paul says. To take advantage of God's grace is to reveal in your life that you have, that you're being a spiritual slacker. Don't be a spiritual slacker. And why? You know, well, if you can focus in on some of these things that Peter is talking about, well, then basically you have an advantage that you are building on your faith. You are maturing your faith. Now, this isn't, we realize here in verse 1, he says in CEV, or I mean in verse 3, we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. That's talking about the salvation experience. There is nothing we can do in and of ourselves to earn God's salvation. It's by grace alone, through faith, that we're saved. But he goes on to talk about this partnership that we have, that you know what? Yes, you have everything you need, and His divine power is the source of all the things that you need, but you've got to mature your faith. And I think that's where so many of us are nowadays. I mean, we've come into relationship with Christ, but now it's kind of like, now what? Well, the answer to that is right here in this scripture. So spiritual slackness is one concern, and I think the other concern here is immaturity. Now, just think about this. This was written probably in the mid-60s, okay? So around maybe 65 A.D. or so. Christ had been crucified and you know, raised 30 years prior to this or so. And these people are already needing to be encouraged, these first disciples. Now, I just want to just pose a logical question. If they needed this kind of encouragement 30 years later, what kind of encouragement do we need thousands of years later to continue living this faith that we have? Now, so those are the concerns, and I wanted to identify those with you. But what I'd like to ask you to do around your tables tonight, I would like you to look at these same verses of Scripture, and I would like for you to identify as a table the solutions to these concerns, to immaturity, spiritual slackness. What are some of the things that you see plainly here in the Scripture that is going to be some powerful tools for you in your walk with God? I'm going to give you about 7 minutes or so, about the same amount of time. If we need more, that's fine, but let's take a few minutes now. And for those of you that have different translations, I'll just give you a little hint here. If you read this passage of Scripture in multiple translations, the answers will just become so clear and really beautiful for you to see. So why don't you take a few moments, discuss this passage of Scripture, and again, we are trying to answer the question, what solutions in this text are we given to spiritual slackness and spiritual immaturity? What do we see here that Peter, and through the Spirit, is encouraging these believers to really be focused on? Let's take some moments and do that. Not one, but I want to go ahead and jump in here and kind of bring some of our thoughts to a head here before we pray with one another. Now, certainly, if you read the Scripture very slowly and you kind of read through some of the things, you probably noticed some things. First of all, you can't really get away from verse 3, can you? That God's power, His divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Now, let's just slow that down for a moment. First of all, His divine power. It's not our own willpower. It's not our own strength that we can earn the eternal gift of God. There's nothing else. And I tell you, you might say, oh, that's just standard fair Christianity stuff. Let's just do away. We can just move on from that. But I want to tell you, there are people, you know, and I tell you, Pentecostal people are probably the worst at this. I tell you why. Because we accept God's grace, but we do everything else in the flesh. I mean, I'll give you an example. One of the things we have to do around here at Central is make sure people aren't serving in too many things. I know that sounds crazy, but people will want to get involved in four or five different ministries. And it's like we ought to put a, you know, you got to get a physical before you become a member here at Central or something. Yeah, check here, get baptized, you know, and sign the fundamentals and make sure you go see your doctor to get a physical because we're gonna work you over here. No, that's not what it's about. Look, this is about understanding that it's His divine power that's given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So there's this power that is given us all, but of course you probably spent a lot of time going through verses 5 through 9, these different things where he says, look, add to your faith. And that just simply means to pursue these things. So if I had to categorize the two things, the two solutions that are given, I would kind of categorize it in the sense of a power and pursuit, a divine power and then our faith pursuit. This is the way that we grow in God. We have to pursue faith. Now, I was reading some commentators said on this passage, and they really had some great thoughts on this. And one of the main thoughts I want to give to you is how, when I first read the passage, I thought somehow these traits, these virtues, sort of built on one another. So I thought they were linked in some way, right? So they were, you know, you add to your faith goodness, and then goodness, knowledge. So before you could have knowledge, in other words, you had to have goodness. And then to godliness, brotherly kindness. So you had to have godliness before you had godly kindness. But just about every commentator I read, really, they talk about how this was really a sermonic element that Peter was using. This was a sermon. He was preaching to these people. Okay, so this isn't necessarily a list where every one of these virtues is linked together. In fact, some of the translations you might have read just had a simple virtue and a comma. It didn't have this kind of understanding where they appear to be linked in some way. And just to give you a good example, first of all, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Well, brotherly kindness and love wouldn't follow brotherly kindness if we were thinking about this logically. And Peter's not simply saying that before you can have love, you have to have brotherly kindness. No, it's more of a list of things that these people should work on in order to grow their faith. Now, I think one thing that's interesting here is he says in verses 8 and 9, for if you possess these qualities, in increasing measure, just break that down, if you're growing in these things, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Self-control, knowledge, goodness, perseverance, godliness, love, brotherly kindness, and certainly we could say sisterly kindness. Okay, these are the kinds of things that if you are growing in, you're going to be effective and productive in your spiritual life. Now, interestingly enough, verse 9, hopefully you developed a little bit of a love for this, because if you've ever felt lacking, if anyone does not have them, he is what? NIV says, nearsighted and blind and has forgotten. What does the unproductive and ineffective person forget? I mean, so what do they forget that causes them to be a spiritual slacker? I mean, what is this? They forget that he has been forgiven, that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Last summer, I read a book that was on what's called the art of memory. It was called Moonwalking on Einstein. And it was a really fascinating read about how the art of memory, I guess, was born. And do you know that there are memory championships all around the world? These people, if you've ever seen on ESPN, PBS, what station would show memory championships? But if you've seen guys like take three cards and they throw them down and they memorize all those cards, that's a memory championship. And it was said to start when this old Greek tale, when Simonides went to a banquet for this philosopher named Scopas, and Simonides comes through the door and he sits at this table, much like in a room like this. Simonides sits at the table. Scopas, as soon as he takes the stage to begin speaking, the entire roof collapses where they're meeting, and everyone dies, except for Simonides, because right before the building collapsed, he was called out to come get a message. Simonides walks out of the door, and the building collapses. Well, loved ones and everybody, they come to the scene where this tragic thing has happened, and Simonides, in his mind, he closes his eyes, and he reconstructs where everybody was in the room, and he walks their loved ones to where their loved one's body lays, and they gathered their belongings and all of this. And the reason why they say that was the birth of the art of memory is because Simonides figured out naturally how to associate an event with where someone was perhaps seated, for example. But it could apply to numerous things. So it was the power, the secret to the art of having a great memory is the power of association. And this is a good example for us to think about here, because the power that is in a God, like the power for godliness lies in the fact that we associate our life with the forgiveness that we have in the cross and the power of Christ. You know, and this has, of course, been a hot topic, especially in recent years, about whether or not someone, you know, you should drink or drink alcohol. Can I drink alcohol? Should I drink alcohol? And I often get, I remember getting a phone call one time from a student who graduated here, and he went to a secular college out of state. He called me in his first semester. He was 19. And he said, "Pastor Mike, I've really got a deep theological question for you." "Oh, yeah, what's that?" And he goes, "You know, is it okay for me to drink?" And I said, "Why are you asking?" He said, "Man, because I've been going to parties every single weekend." And he said, "I'm just wondering if I can keep doing this and stay a Christian and all this kind of stuff." And I said, "Let's just hold the phone for a second. He said, "I know this is going to sound like a curveball, but let me just ask, how is your relationship with God going?" And he said, "Oh, it's terrible." And I said, until we answer this question, we're not going to move on to the other one. And I think it was a good point that was made, because the power in my own life, I got saved from alcohol. So when people ask me, "Well, what do you do?" That's what they want to know. "What do you do?" I don't drink at all. And it's not just because you know, my friends next door would want my papers or anything like that, which that's true. That's absolutely true. But I don't do it because of that. I don't do it because I would lose my credentials. And I'm not trying to make anybody here feel bad, but here's what I'm saying. The power of association. The day I gave my heart to Christ, I put down alcohol. And for some reason, it was one of those things that I never had to pick up again. Never struggled with it afterwards, still don't struggle with it to this day, and I praise God for it. And someone says, "You know, well, I mean, how did you do that?" I don't know how to even explain it other than it was God's power in my life. Now, I know some friends who have had a long-term struggle with alcohol, and you know what? We want to work with them and love them and get them through that. I'm just saying, for my own life, it's the power. Do you get the illustration I'm trying to make here? It's the power of association. So my question to you was, when is God at His best? In your life, He is at His best when you associate the power of forgiveness and the power of the cross with living godly today. See, that's where the Spirit comes. I mean, that's when the Spirit is just right there, the power of His grace. "You know what, Lord? I want to live for You because of what You've done in my life." And that's what we're talking about tonight. When you were talking about God's vision for your future, if I had to sum it up in two words, it would be to know God's power and to pursue Him, to pursue godliness and that power of association. Just some closing questions before I give it to you guys to pray out tonight. You know, many of us say as our goals for 2013 that we want to give more priority to our spiritual life. But let's just poke at that goal for a second. Are you really serious about that? How serious are you? Are you willing to rearrange your schedule in order to obtain that knowledge that we read about in this scripture? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. You have to understand Him. And a couple weeks ago, I talked about the triad of wisdom, of, you know, the relationship with the Spirit and knowledge and discipline. You have to have something to work with there. Are you reading God's Word? My little Chloe, the other day, she came in. Pastor Justin's doing a great job challenging our kids. I was teasing him the other day because Chloe said, "Dad, Pastor Justin is challenging us to do 5-5-5. 5 minutes of reading, 5 minutes of praying, and 5 minutes of worshiping." And she came in and she said, "Dad, I have worshiped for 5 minutes, and I have read my Bible for 5 minutes, and Pastor Justin says all I have to do is read my Bible for 5 minutes, and I'm going to heaven." And I said, "Well, you're not going right now, you know, and I'm trying to, she said, "All I've got to do is do this, and I'm going to heaven." And I'm like, "Well, we'll work on that a little bit later." But she gets the point, you know. Let's not put the fire out, so keep it going. But other, you know, Pastor Justin, what is he communicating to these kids? Hey, you got to prioritize it if you want to grow. If you want to add to your faith and grow in your faith, you're going to have to rearrange some things. Let me ask you this. What has distracted you in years past from prioritizing your spiritual growth? And are you serious enough about your spiritual growth that you're willing to set those distractions aside, that you're willing to do something else? I'll give you just an example. Some of you might struggle with certain things, and it comes and goes during times of the day. For example, maybe the noon hour when you get a lunch break and you have time to yourself. Let's say you've got an hour. And that hour that you are alone is not really the best time of your day, because for some reason when you're alone, your mind and your thoughts tend to just run rampant, not on godly things at all. I want to encourage you with this. How about an exercise where instead of just doing nothing but eating during your lunch hour, man, grab your phone or a Bible and do a little Bible study like we did here tonight. What we did tonight was just simple inductive Bible study. What do you see in the Scriptures? What concerns are there? What solutions are there? And you know what? How can you apply those things to your life? You can do that really easy. Hey, and some of you, maybe it's not the midday. Maybe it's the late night. And, you know, after everybody's gone to bed, you tend to stay up a little bit longer than maybe is good. And so you end up tired in the morning, or maybe your mind starts going places that it's not supposed to at late at night. And you know what? Are you willing to say, "Look, I've got to go to bed earlier so I can prioritize this"? I know this is painstaking practical, but this is where the rubber meets the road, my friends. And so how serious are you about this growth? How serious are you about really prioritizing your spiritual growth for 2013? Now, in closing, what I'd like to do, instead of praying for you tonight, I would like you to not talk about what you're struggling with around your tables, but I'd like you to share maybe one thing that you would like to focus on. There's a difference between what you need to get rid of and maybe what you need to focus on. Why don't you take a few minutes and share that one or a couple of things? Basically, especially for our veterans in here, I'd like you to share your prayer request that you have and then pray for one another. And once you're finished praying, the night's going to be over and you're going to be dismissed. But I really hope that you would share something that you want to focus on, because I tell you, there's something powerful here. Next week, when you see the people that are sitting at your table right now, not that you have to sit at the same table, but when you see them, why don't you just ask them how they're doing on that? That's called the power of accountability. I believe it can help us become the kind of Christ followers God's calling us to be in 2013. Why don't you go ahead and pray it out, folks? God bless you. It's great to have you here tonight. We'll see you next week, but you guys will pray out.